Good morning. My name is Jeff McLean. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is my privilege and honor to be able to come and speak the Word of God to you this morning and to share that with you. So thank you for this opportunity. So a couple of years ago, around Christmas time, I was driving with my family in the car, and we were just about to our house, and my daughter Anne, who was just 3 years old at the time, said to me something that I thought was, in retrospect, pretty profound. She, all of a sudden, just out of the middle of nowhere, she says to me, "Daddy, it's dark outside, but that's okay, because it won't be dark forever." Now, it was just about Christmas, and she didn't realize it, but that was like the biggest Christmas present she could give to me, because that line became like my Christmas Eve homily. It was perfect, right? It's dark outside, but that's okay, because the darkness won't last forever. We're obviously a long way from Christmas, but that truth still stands here at the end of June. After all, it sure has seemed pretty dark outside lately, in a lot of ways, hasn't it? I mean, just this week, the news was filled with images and audio of children in cages crying out for their parents from whom they've been separated. It's dark outside, all right. Regardless of our politics, as human beings, we simply must be better than that. And even more as Christians, because after all, we are called to love our neighbor. And as it says in Romans 13, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Lately, I felt like I've needed to be in church and in worship more than ever. If nothing else, then just to hear a better story. To hear an alternative narrative to the one that we hear the rest of the week. To hear a story of hope and possibility. One that says that we're called to a better way of being in life. To be reminded that because of Christ, the darkness won't last forever. I need to hear more of that story on Sundays and every day of the week. As we continue our summer reading series in the Gospel of John, I invite you to read John chapters 8 through 10 this week. But today we're only going to focus on one verse. God's answer to all of the darkness in the world. Hear this word from John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In a world full of darkness, it's good to be reminded of that truth today. As we make our way through the Gospel of John this summer, I invite you to pay attention to the ways in which the Gospel writer makes the case that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, sent into the world to save the world. John does that by talking about all the different signs and miracles that Jesus works throughout the Gospel of John. We see turning water into wine and feeding the 5,000, even raising Lazarus from the dead, all of them signs that God, that Jesus is the Christ. But John also speaks about Jesus' identity in terms of theological metaphors. And today's verse is the second of several "I am" statements in John's Gospel. Last week we heard Vern preach about Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." Next week in John chapter 10, we'll hear Jesus say that, "I am the good shepherd." Next week we'll hear that message preached from Jason Biasi, one of our former pastors who will be back in town next week. I invite you to come back and hear from him. But these "I am" statements in John's Gospel, they hearken back to the Old Testament, where God revealed God's self to Moses. The story is told in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is out tending sheep, and all of a sudden he comes across this burning bush that isn't quite being burned up. It's kind of a curious light, right, if ever there was one. And God says to Moses, I have heard the cries of my people in Egypt, and I have come to deliver them. And so I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And after Moses kind of makes some excuses and stammers around a little bit, he says, who should I say sent me? God says to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. Tell them, I am sent you. I am. That's the first time in Scripture that God's name is revealed. I am. And that name is composed of four Hebrew letters that when you put them together, the best we can guess is that sometimes it was pronounced Yahweh. Maybe Jehovah is another way to interpret that. We don't know for sure, but some people believe that it's such a holy name that we shouldn't even bother or try to speak it out loud. That's how holy that name is. I am the divine holy name of God. In the Old Testament, when you read your Bibles and you see the Lord in all capital letters, that's that name. That's Yahweh. That's I am who I am. And so when Jesus says in John's gospel, I am, John is making a Christological claim about Jesus. Jesus is identifying with the God revealed to Moses, the great I am, who rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And John's gospel boldly proclaims that Jesus and I am are one and the same. I am is still in the business of delivering God's people from slavery to sin and death and darkness. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Scripture frequently mentions the contrast between darkness and light. And sometimes darkness refers to a void or a nothingness, like the world was at the beginning of the creation story. And sometimes darkness refers to evil. The world was cloaked in darkness as Christ hung on the cross. Sometimes darkness is synonymous with spiritual blindness or a failure to understand what it really means to be human. And sometimes being in darkness is about having lost one's way. Losing our way in the darkness can be a scary thing. Last week, my wife and kids and I drove up to Michigan to spend time with my family. And one night while we were there, we had my sister's kids over for a slumber party. And when we were about to go to bed, we turned off the lights, and all of a sudden my little niece became terrified. She was really afraid. But my daughter, Anne, spoke up and said, it's going to be okay. Just give it a minute. Your eyes will adjust, and eventually you'll see light again. It's going to be okay. You see, she knew that a couple days prior to that, she probably felt similarly scared, and so we went out and bought a nightlight and plugged it in, and that nightlight kicks in when all the lights go off, and she knew that, because of that nightlight, it was going to be okay. All would be well. The darkness wouldn't last forever, as she said a couple of years before that. She's like a prophet. It's awesome. She's 5 now, by the way. It's easy to lose our way in the darkness, and that is a scary, scary place to be. And darkness looks different for each of us. For some of us, it might look like being stuck in harmful behaviors or addictions or unhealthy relationships. It could be that darkness is brought on by depression or some other kind of illness that we're dealing with. Sometimes we might just find ourselves completely weighed down with the state of the world and with the polarizing and divisive political climate that we live in now. And when we're in the darkness, we often feel alone and isolated. And that is a dangerous place to be. Because oftentimes when we feel alone, our tendency is to withdraw even more into the darkness. Sometimes it's like we're being drawn into a pit and we just can't find our way out. And in those moments, what we really need is to be reminded that we are not alone. We are never alone. It only takes the tiniest bit of light to start chasing away the darkness. The darkness won't last forever. Throughout the Bible, God brings light into darkness. 1 John 1:5 says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In the beginning, the first thing God created was light, to bring order and rhythm to the day and to dispel the darkness. And then God led the Israelites to the promised land by a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire, a light by night. God was the original nightlight, y'all. That's pretty fun. And God's light led the way to new life. There's an entire Jewish festival that commemorates God lighting the way. It's called the Festival of Booths, and it's a time when practicing Jews pitch a tent in their backyard to remind them of being led out of Egypt by the light of God. And see, during Jesus' time, the Festival of Booths culminated in this elaborate lighting of the temple. And what they would do is they would take these massive bowls filled with oil and thousands of wicks, and they would light them on fire and stick them on the four corners of the temple. And it was just this incredible, the light could be seen for miles. And it was a really unique way to experience light in the ancient world, right? There's no electricity then, and so this was really something else. Interestingly, in John chapter 7, the one right before the one we're reading today, the gospel writer tells us that the Festival of Booths was approaching. And so this festival is the backdrop for Jesus' I am statement in chapter 8. And so as the Jewish temple was literally lighting up the world, Jesus comes onto the scene and says, I am the light of the world. What a profound statement. What an amazing entrance, Jesus. I complete with pyrotechnics, right? That's awesome. And so as they are remembering in that moment, as they're celebrating the Festival of Booths, as they're remembering the I am, the God whose light saved them, Jesus says to them, I am that God. I am the light of your salvation. Sometimes I wish we Christians would have more festivals like that. Doesn't that sound like fun? I think it sounds awesome. Just so we could be reminded more regularly about things like God's saving light in the world. I'd love to see huge bowls of fire on the four corners of the churches lighting up Boone and the world. Of course, some of you might remember and might not want to see that because you've already seen that once back when our church was on King Street and it literally burned to the ground. Backtrack. To be clear, I don't want to see that. Please do not light fireballs at church. And the reality is we often do remember God lighting the way and leading us. We do it every time that we light candles in worship. We do it on All Saints Day when we light candles in memory of someone who has passed. Candlelight vigils are an ancient spiritual practice. And one of the earliest known hymns in the Christian church, at least hymn in the way that we think of it today, a song that we sing in worship, it came about around, best we can tell, around 300 or so AD. And it's called Hail Gladdening Light. Hail Gladdening Light. And the early Christians used to sing that song while they were processing out of Christ's empty tomb, carrying a candle that was perpetually lit. They just left it in there, always burning, to remember that Jesus is the light of the world, and that death is not the final word. That's why we light candles at our Easter sunrise service, if you've ever been to that. Because darkness doesn't last forever. Vacation Bible School children, we had VBS this week, you heard from them earlier. They had their own version of that ritual this week. Don't worry, not with candles and fire, but with glow sticks, the kid-appropriate light of the world. But they waved that light as they sang about Jesus like they did this morning, being our lighthouse, our way in the darkness. One of my favorite worship moments of the year is the Christmas Eve candlelight service. And what's so powerful about that to me is that that candle lighting all starts with just one little light. The Christ candle. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so we start with that one tiny light. But then we pass that light to one another. Because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus says something a little bit different. In Matthew, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And so we embody that truth on Christmas Eve as we share the light of Christ with one another. And the sanctuary begins to light up and become brighter and brighter until we're all aglow with the light of Christ. His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And then we're called to take that light into the world, into every single circumstance we find ourselves in. We are the light of the world, at work, at home, at the grocery store, at the gym, on social media, maybe even especially on social media. Can we be more light on social media? Oh my goodness. We are the light of the world. We are the beacon of God's light and salvation. We are the light of compassion and mercy in the face of callousness and indifference. We are the light of God's unrelenting and grace-filled love for the world. And we're called to shine. Does that remind anybody of a song? There's a couple of them, but the one that came to me this week as I was thinking about this, and you know it. Let's sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We gotta shine, y'all. We gotta do it, we gotta do it, we have to shine because let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. Please let your light shine. Don't let your contribution to the world be the passing on of more darkness. There's already more than enough of that. And it's too easy to get caught up and to get weighed down and frustrated and overwhelmed by the darkness. It's too easy to think there's just so much of it. Like what possible good could come from my little tiny light? But the thing is, it doesn't take but one little flicker of light to send the darkness running. And maybe your flicker just might be the one that someone needs to see today. You don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if there's anybody out there who feels like they just need to hear one person say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Will you say that with me? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because the Lord, I am who I am, is our light and our salvation. It's going to be okay because Jesus is the light of the world. And so even if you can't believe that for yourself right now, believe that someone else believes it. And let that candle light yours. When my niece freaked out last week at the family slumber party and when we turned off the lights, what got her through that time was hearing my daughter say, it's going to be okay. Just wait a second and you'll be able to see. So friends, that's my encouragement to you today. If you can just hold on long enough, there's always light coming. God is light. So let every bit of light you see remind you that it's going to be okay. Every time you see a candle flicker or light dance on the top of water or sunbeams spill over the mountaintops, remember that the light of the world is with you. And following that light leads to life. The darkness won't last forever. And so from now until Christ comes again, let there be light. Let us be light.